I'm going to hold my remarks until later. In fact, this whole program will be shifting from time to time because there's things going on the floor in both the House and the Senate, and we have to have a very flexible program. So without any introduction or preliminary remarks, let me recognize Senator Kennedy.
Members of the Cohen family and friends of Wilbur Cohen, colleagues in government. It is a privilege to join so many others in this tribute to one of the greatest social thinkers and doers of our century. Wilbur Cohen is a giant who walked the earth in our time. He touched the lives of millions and reshaped forever America's thinking about social policy and social justice. Franklin Roosevelt could not have had the New Deal without him. Social Security and Medicare and insurance for the disabled, the hat trick of the 20th century America social policy, and they are the Wilbur Cohen's enduring monuments. It is fitting that we meet in this place to honor him, because this very chamber was the scene of his greatest victories. Indeed, if all the beneficiaries of Wilbur Cohen's extraordinary vision were here today, we would need 1,000 times 1,000 ways and means hearing rooms, and still they would be filled to overflowing. Like Wilbur Cohen, many people came to Washington with large ambition, but they are hampered by youth and inexperience. I know, because I was one of them. But Wilbur Cohen succeeded where others failed, partly because his IQ was higher than the sum of everybody else's in the room, but primarily because his compassion was even higher than his IQ. He also succeeded because he understood that high intelligence, high ideals, and intense commitment are not enough to get things done. He also had the rarest of skills, the ability to probe opposing arguments, bring differing sides together, find an opening, and push an idea through. One of President Kennedy's favorite Wilbur Cohen stories took place when my brother was still a congressman. The year was 1952, and after a long struggle in that presidential election year, the House and Senate Conference Committee was deadlocked over the creation of disability benefits in Social Security. The House favored the idea, but the Senate refused to budge. Wilbur's solution was ingenious. "We should lay the groundwork for disability insurance in this bill," he said, "even if the program did not take effect right away." So he wrote the program into the bill and then wrote an expiration date earlier than the date of enactment. President Truman's advisors had a difficult time explaining the legislation to him, but he signed it into law anyway. You can look it up. Congress has passed stranger bills, but few that had such promise. The precedent was created, and by 1956, America had a real disability program under Social Security, and it will never have an expiration date again. And then, of course, there was the epic struggle for health insurance for the elderly. President Kennedy had a long-standing commitment to the issue as a congressman and senator, and he took great pride in being the first president to call for Medicare. It was one of the key issues in his 1960 campaign, and it was inevitable that Wilbur Cohen would become his key advisor and strategist in the White House days. In the course of the long battle with Congress, it became clear that 3 or 4 Republican votes were essential if the bill was to prevail in the Senate. But the swing Republicans wanted some sort of GOP stamp on the bill in return for their support. What they needed, they said, was to add an element of choice. Jack thought at first that they wanted to make Medicare voluntarily and said no way. He already had Barry Goldwater in his sights for 1964. But Wilbur suggested that the concept of choice could be added in a different way, between 2 equivalent benefit packages. Well, a certain commissioner of Social Security named Bob Ball got wind of this idea, and he began to worry how his agency could ever handle the complaints of all the elderly citizens who chose one package and then discovered they had picked the wrong alternative. So Bob Ball persuaded his boss, Secretary of H.E.W. Celebrezze, to go with him to the White House to shoot Wilbur Cohen down. Now you have to understand that Wilbur was a free spirit and not an easy target. But he did have a desk, after all, in H.E.W. as assistant secretary, so Bob Ball and Anthony Celebrezze were nominally his superiors. Well, those two top guns of H.E.W. walked into the Oval Office, and they found Wilbur Cohen already sitting there with my brother, barely suppressing that famous Cohen Cheshire cat smile. Bob and the secretary knew right away that they had been had. But they went ahead and made all their points to President Kennedy about the chaos that Wilbur was about to cause in Medicare. And finally, Jack said in response, you know, chaos is not the worst thing in the world. Of course, the bill passed the Senate, thanks to Wilbur Cohen's skillful hand in the negotiations. And then, just as Jack and Wilbur always knew it would, the offending choice proposal quietly disappeared in conference with the House. One final story about Wilbur that I treasure is his commitment to group medical practice and the HMO movement. He enrolled in GHA, the Group Health Association, here in Washington when he arrived in the 1930s, and he was a loyal member ever since. My own legislation on HMOs was finally signed into law by President Nixon in the 1970s. Wilbur proudly told anyone who listened that he had been 40 years ahead of Ted Kennedy on HMOs. And I would always add, it's not a crime to be behind Wilbur Cohen on any issue. The only offense is not to try to keep up. I once asked Wilbur how he could remain a member of a group practice in the District of Columbia during all his years in Texas and Ann Arbor. After all, Wilbur, I said, you had a heart attack, didn't you? Well, Teddy replied, I arranged to have it in Washington. I thought of that again last month when I heard the sad news from Seoul, Korea. It is easy to take for granted great peaceful revolutions like Social Security and Medicare and regard them as a part of the inevitable flow of the impersonal forces of history. But there was nothing impersonal about Wilbur Cohen. He was the irresistible force that made immovable presidents and Congresses move. And in our mind's eye, we can hear him roaring down from the heavens now, what do you mean you can't find a way to add long-term care to catastrophic insurance? Edward Gibbon, in The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, got it right when he wrote, the wind and waves are always on the side of the ablest navigator. And it is no coincidence that the wind and waves were always with Wilbur Cohen. He was one of the ablest navigators of our time, and all of us in Congress and the country will miss him as we try to chart his course in the years ahead.